Why don't y'all turn with me tonight to Matthew chapter 6, please? Oh, Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I love you. I worship you. I praise you. I praise you. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I love you. I praise you. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you. I am so amazed by the Lord every single day. Because when we spend time in His presence, He comes in a tangible way. And even if the tangible isn't like goosebumps, that's not what I'm talking about. It's like you sense His presence. One of the things that's been going on with me lately is when people talk about presence, it's often, when I was growing up, it often felt like it was like, ooh. And the more I've grown in my walk with Jesus, it's more like I'm just sitting with you. You know, He's just there and I'm with Him. I mean, everyone wants the manifest presence of God in terms of people. I mean, no one's going to say when they get the goosebumps, ooh, that sucked. They're not going to say that. But that's really not what the presence is, at least as I'm sitting with Him more. It's just, I'm just with you. Like, if I went and sat beside Barry, I'd be in His presence. See what I mean? Because He's always with us. So He amazes me every day in worship. But you can get out of the practice of His presence because you get distracted or because you're trying to get through your Bible reading or whatever reason. Falling back in love with just being with Him is number one, because everything else will flow out of it. When you're with Him and you're just loving His presence, you're going to just automatically start worshiping Him because you just can't get over His beauty. And you're going to automatically start praying in tongues because you're like, oh my goodness, He's got to mortify that stuff in me. And I want to build myself up on my most holy face so that I can, you know, do everything He's asked me to do. There comes a sense of not wanting to let God down, not because you're trying to be perfect, but because you adore Him so much and you want what He wants. And that is definitely, that hunger is growing deeper in me than ever before. Because when I was young, it was a very innocent seeking of the Lord. It was very, I didn't really know anything. I just sang to Him every day and talked to Him every day. And it wasn't until religious people started telling me that that wasn't enough, truly. They thought I was kind of flaky or whatever because I would talk to God. It wasn't like, oh God, how you doing? You know, it was like that. But a lot of people in church don't understand just being with the Lord, just being in His presence. And they start touching into it, but it's never enough. And I remember even starting to worship in public, and people would say that it was too personal, or they'd say it was too long, because the main attraction is the message. And even though I 100% believe you come together for teaching, worship is so key to help people prepare their hearts just to receive the word, firstly. But also, if people can't, what I know now, after 30, it's almost 30 years, you know, almost 30 years since I've been leading worship full time. And it's more than 30 years since I started leading worship within church. I think it's about 32 years since I've been doing that. And at first, when you're hungry, everything people tell you, you just want to take, okay, and you want to do everything, you want to do everything. And what I've realized now is if people don't know how to worship here, then they're not worshiping at home. And if they're not worshiping at home, and they don't know Him the way they should. That's it. Like, oh, you can know Him through His word, yes, but it has to be more than a book to you. And that comes from being in His presence. So there's nothing wrong with just being in His presence. In fact, it's what He wants. As I was preparing for tonight, as I said, I was just spending time this week. Elaine's up, by the way. Hi, honey. I'm a Mapapa mom. He's up with his parents. My mother-in-law turned 80 the other day. Happy birthday, Mama. Ooh. And so he's up there visiting them. He'll be back on Thursday. And so I've just taken this time, this extra time alone, to spend more time than normal with the Lord. And I was just sitting there one time, and I was asking the Lord, what do you want me to say? Because you can say a lot of things up here. You know, I have books full of thoughts from the Lord. You're spending time with the Lord, and you're saying, oh, that's a good one. Oh, that's a good one. Oh, that's a good one. It's like, what does God want you to say? And it was so simple, but this is what he said to me, and I honestly believe it was very clear. So what we all need to hear tonight is, let not your heart be troubled. Which is so funny what you're preaching this morning. I mean, it's not. I'm used to it now. I'm like, I know what's going to happen. He's going to preach something that's similar to what I'm going to preach. Because that's what happens. Let not your heart be troubled. That's John 14:1. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Let not your heart be troubled. Everyone say, Lord, I won't let my heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let the emotions, your emotions get the better of you. Don't let them. When he says, let not your heart be troubled, that means you have something to do with it. And your emotions, see, some people think that, well, women are so emotional. And they say that because women tend to cry more often than men. But men are emotional too sometimes. Some of the most emotional people I've ever met are men, but it comes out not in tears. It comes out in frustration or anger or things like that. So don't think of emotions as just, you know, a crying lady. Emotions are things, feelings, that hijack your spirit so that you can't leave things in God's hands and be about his business. That's what emotions are. God is saying, this is what I was sensing, I was praying. He said, I gave you emotions to help you and bless you, but when you take on every care and every worry and every load, I am not in that. Let not your heart be troubled. And I know that's for people on the watching too. Let not your heart be troubled. You're all at Matthew 6. I think you know where we're going to go with this one, don't you? famous passage, starting at verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, it's important to know, okay, when it says, back at verse 25, it says, take no thought. It's talking about not worrying. And that word is actually Strong's 3309. And it means to not be anxious about, to not be careful, to not have care. It is really talking about worry, okay? It's talking about having that part of you that starts getting agitated on the inside, taking on too much, trying to figure out things on your own. That's what worry is. This word, when it says take no thought, okay, the thought means don't be anxious about, don't be careful, don't have care. Care is not like, oh, I care about you and I want to help you or you're a caregiver. That's not what this is talking about. Okay, you can, in our, you know, language, we say, oh, I really care about this person. That doesn't always mean you're worrying about them. That just means you love them. Or if you're a caregiver, it just means that that's your job. Okay, it's not talking about worry. But this word here, this is talking about worry. This kind of care here, take no thought, it's talking about worry. Webster's Dictionary says, it's a disquieted state of mixed uncertainty, apprehension and responsibility. That's a big one. Something that causes a state of worry or anxiety. And this was huge, the suffering of the mind. Now let's go over that again. We're going to read it, and we're going to look at every time that it talks about take no thought, meaning don't worry, okay? And I'm going to change those words. Therefore I say unto you, do not worry for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much more better than they? Which of you by, this is the same thing, worrying, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why, again, same thing, why worry for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? This is really talking about having faith in God's provision, trusting him, not letting worry set in. Verse 31 says it again, therefore do not worry. Take no thought, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things did the Gentiles seek, and that's the point. See, the lost people who don't know Jesus, they're going to worry. They're going to have care. They're going to have concern. They don't have an inner peace or strength from the Lord to help them get through the things of life. Of course they're going to worry. That's why the Gentiles seek after these things. But he says, don't you do these things. This is what the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. And there's another place that talks about your Father knows what you have need of before you even ask. Our job is to ask and then to wait and not worry in the waiting. Verse 33, famous verse, everyone knows it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This is the how-to. He tells you, don't take thought, don't worry, don't do those things. How? Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. See, a lot of people say, well, I'm just going to make a choice not to worry. I'm just going to choose not to worry. But that will only take you so far, because your strength will only take you so far. But when you seek God first, what happens is his strength infuses you, and you're able to go, okay, I can let this go now. Sometimes we get it backwards. I'm going to stop worrying, and then I'll go to God when I feel better. He's like, come to me now. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. And then verse 34 repeats it again. Therefore, take no thought. Do not worry. Don't have care. Don't be anxious. Therefore, do not take thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Meaning there's going to be stuff tomorrow. You don't worry today. And then when tomorrow hits, you don't worry then. And the next day hits, don't worry then. Don't start planning. You know, have you ever thought about things like, okay, the next day you're about to leave on a trip and you can't sleep the night before because you just want to make sure that you don't miss the alarm clock and you want to make sure you have everything in your suitcase or whatever, everything you need, okay? That's taking thought. And in some ways, there's some wisdom in that when you're traveling because you don't want to miss your flight or you want to make sure you have underwear, okay, in your suitcase, all right? You want to make sure you got what you need. But when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to the things that steal your joy, when it comes to your emotions, to act like you're going to figure it all out. He's saying, don't do that. Do not take thought for tomorrow. Don't try to work it all in your head. That's not how it works. Did you notice that in this short passage, take no thought, that happens three times. And if we include verse 28 and 27 and 28, where it says, taking thought, or why take ye thought? That's five times in those short passages, in this short passage. Do you think God might be trying to get something over to us? God doesn't often repeat himself that often in a very short passage. Of course he is. And doesn't Philippians 4:6, what does it tell us? Be careful for nothing, or better translation, be anxious for nothing. That's actually a better translation. Be anxious for nothing. For nothing. So does he say be anxious for some things and only give me the some things? He says, be anxious for nothing. Listen, I'm preaching to myself. Sometimes my head is always going because I have a creative mind, okay? And I have to literally tell myself, stop. I have to tell my brain to stop. I do. Even yesterday, my brain was going like 100 miles an hour. And not even worrying, but just getting into that state. And it's something I've learned that I can't let my mind go there. Because even if it's not worry now, if I let my mind constantly do this, it's going to turn into some things. So I went for a walk because it's starting to get really beautiful here. I was going for a walk and I was just talking to the Lord and praying and stuff. And I was talking to myself and I'm like, you know what? Mind? And I was speaking to all the thoughts that were coming. I'm like, no. You know, God is my peace. And I don't care what people think. Like if somebody's right walking by me, I stop. But if they're just over there, I just keep praying, keep talking to the Lord, you know. We talk to ourselves so that we don't let our brain and our mind and our thoughts just run us. Just keep going. It says, be anxious for nothing in Philippians 4:6, right? For nothing. But in all things, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ. Be anxious for nothing. But people walk around anxious, 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 anxious. God's where's your peace? Where's your peace? Well, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Speak to yourself. Let it go. Everyone turn to Mark chapter 4. What I love about this message tonight is God laid it out for me, and it's so simple, but it's so pertinent for what he wants to say. And this is the story where Jesus is in the boat with the disciples, and they're crossing over, right? And the storm arises. And in verse 35, and it says, and the same day, when the even was come, or the evening, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full or filling. Okay, so what is it filling with? Water. This is no small storm. I was actually on the on Galilee, the Lake of Galilee in Israel, and it looks like this tiny little lake. I'm not kidding. Like, you can see the other side from where I was. Like, you can see in the distance, you're like, oh, like, I could have swam it, for real. When I was young, I could swim miles and miles. And I was like, oh, I could swim this. Like, it's far, but I can do it. And you think, there's no way there's going to any kind of waves up on this. But they explained to us that just because it's surrounded, like, by mountains, so suddenly a wind can come in, and that's it. It just makes the water go wild. So this is what was happening that day. The water is starting to fill the boat. Okay, verse 38. And Jesus was asleep in the hinder part of the ship. Sorry, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Okay, something that I want to point out tonight, because it's something that the Lord was showing me a little while ago. I was always wondering, why in verse 38 does it say, specify that Jesus was asleep on a pillow? Like in the other accounts, it doesn't say he was asleep on a pillow. It just says he was asleep. So I'm like, why this detail? It's because Jesus wasn't just like sitting there and then was like, fell asleep on Peter's shoulder. He purposed to get away from everyone, to grab a pillow and go into the hinder part of the boat, which is the stern, and he fell asleep. And he was so in such a deep sleep that even when the water starts filling, or the boat starts filling with water, he has no idea what's happening. Have any of you ever been on a boat that's rocky, especially a small boat? Those boats, by the way, because they show us like in Galilee, they show you boats that was like what would have been around in Jesus' time, okay, based on history. They're not that big. So if he is like in the stern asleep on a pillow and it's starting, he's probably like rolling around. Like, I'm like, he was a person too. His spirit just didn't carry him and float him above, right? Just because he was, you know, Jesus. He's like probably being like tossed. He's asleep on a pillow. He's out of it. And suddenly the disciples come up and they say, okay, Jesus was just taking no thought. Okay, let's go back to there. They say in the end of verse 38, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And that the definition of that is like them saying, Jesus, isn't this of interest to you? Don't you think it matters what happens to us? Why are you asleep? You know, get up, get your butt up, you know, like, come on, help us bail this water out. But Jesus didn't have a care because he knew that he was supposed to go the other side. You know, he might have been feeling, I don't know if he felt, I mean, usually if it's that bad, you can get tossed into the puddle. Maybe, I don't know if they tied him in or something like that. Maybe he tied himself in. Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever been startled awake? I don't think I have because I don't startle easily, but maybe if someone tried really hard, they could. But, okay, Elaine is really easily startled, okay? Hi, hun. He's very easily startled. I mean, when we were first married, it was bad. I don't know, I get a kick out of when people get startled. It makes me laugh. So I would startle him as much as I could. He'd be like, around the corner, ooh. But it's not fun because he's too easy. So now it's no longer fun. Now it's like, I do live in this house. You know, just assume that I'm here. Just assume that I might walk by you. But he gets easily startled. And normally when that happens, when you get startled, what happens is like for a second, your brain goes blank and you're like, you can't think of anything. You're just thinking, what's happening? Like, you don't even know. Like whatever you were dreaming about is like suddenly real. And you're like, oh my gosh, you know, the field of daisies, what's going on? You have no idea. You're just, for a second, you're out of it. Okay. Jesus was not just been like, Jesus, time to wake up. Jesus, don't you care that we're dying? The boat's taking on water. And Jesus, instead of getting up, like, we're all going to die, and starts bailing, you know, like, what does he do? Peace, be still. And then he rebukes them for having no faith. Now, I'm not saying you can't get startled. That's not what I'm saying. But picture yourself in that moment, right? What would your reaction be? Now, if we're in a boat, maybe we're startled awake, maybe we'd be like, at first we wouldn't know what's happening. We'd be disoriented and then, okay, wait. Everything's going to be fine. Peace. Maybe we would do that. And we'd all like to think that we'd be the person that would be all calm and be peace be still and the whole storm would stop. And we want to be that and we want to get there for sure. Okay, it's no different when you come up to a storm of worry or circumstances or problems or troubles in your life. It's no different. How you react matters. How I react matters. And if it's always anxiety and fear and worry and stress, then you're not going to be able to calm the storm because you need to be able to stay in that calm, in that peace with the Lord. We all need that in order to be able to speak to the situation. The truth is that if we aren't speaking to the little storms right now, what makes us think that we're going to speak to the big storms or the sudden storms that come? We're not, because we're not going to be ready. You don't go from a 5-pound weight to a 25-pound weight in one day. Or pick a higher number if you're a guy, because I'm like, that's nothing for you guys. But like most women start at 5 pounds and they work them their way up. And I've never done more than 40, like bicep curls, 40 pounds, which is 40 is nothing for a guy. But still, the point remains, you don't start one day at a low level, your first day out, and then the next day immediately jump to where you think you want to be. It's like that in life. It's like that with worry. In every situation we find ourselves in, we can either respond with worry, care, overthinking, trying to figure it out in our own strength, or we can cast our cares upon Him, speak life to the problem, and trust in God. but it can't be both. It's going to be one or the other. And I want to just pause here for 1 second and say this. Things are going to hit, and in the first moment, you're going to feel stuff. We all do. But just don't give in to that. Okay, don't give in to the, oh my gosh, don't give in to the water is coming in the boat. Don't give in to it. The panic, the dread, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, just don't give in to it. It's not like we don't have feelings. It's not like things don't happen. Suddenly something bad happens and you're like, oh my goodness, what's going on? But don't let your brain go down that rabbit trail of worry and care and concern. Instead, go and seek God, seek Him, and get His peace so that you can work through the situation. And the other thing is, a lot of people, they'll start there. They're like, oh good, I felt it, I dealt with it, I'm talking to it, it's good. And then 3 days later, okay, the emotions start hitting you again. Only this time you're like, because it's not fresh, you just think, oh, well, it's just me. I'm just, you know, worrying about it. I'm just thinking about it. But the enemy is subtle like that, where he'll try to bring something back around to you to see if you'll take the bait. So don't. Know that until that thing is completely gone, constantly hand it over to the Lord and don't let yourself take thought or take care. 1 Peter 5:7, everyone knows it. Cast your care upon Him, for He cares for you. But Amplified is so much fuller, so I'm going to read it. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on Him. For He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. To cast all your cares on Jesus and not take them back takes faith. That's why Jesus said to the disciples in verse 40 over there in Mark 4, you know, why do you have no faith? Why are you afraid? It takes faith to walk without care. Bless you. Staying in a constant state of faith is the solution to overcoming worry and care. And where does worry and care dwell when we let them? In our minds and our emotions. But because none of us are perfect, and things do come, the Bible also gives us instructions on what to do when these things do start coming. So turn to Psalm 42. This is Michaela's first verse that God ever gave her when she was little. I don't know if she was maybe 8 or 10, somewhere in there, maybe 12, somewhere in there. And she came down and said, the Lord just gave me this verse. And it was just perfect for her. Psalm 42, verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. So you know that song we sing? So come on, my soul, don't you get shy of me. I mean, if you knew this verse, you knew that it was from the Bible. So you speak to your soul. You speak to your mind. You speak to your emotions. So whatever's coming at you, say no. You say no to it and you speak to it. So Pastor Jim was talking this morning about life and death is in the power of the tongue. And it's really good when we stop speaking death, but it's also even better when we start speaking life to the situation. So you cannot speak at all, and that's really good. Please don't, you know, as he said this morning, don't curse yourself by saying a bunch of things contrary to the Word of God. But going a step further into that is take the Word of God to the lie, to the thing that's coming at you. Speak against it. Speak to your soul. Okay, because the real you, the spirit you, knows that those things aren't true anyways. Okay, let's take examples. So let's say, you know, you're faced with something and you keep hearing, like, I'm just never going to get this right. I'm just never going to get this right. You know what I mean? I can't do this. You say, yes, I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. If He asked you to do something, He's given you the strength to be able to do it. So that is saying, you know, you say no to it. You speak to your soul and you say, stop. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do this. I will get through this. Okay, that's just an easy example. But that's an example of how you speak to your soul. And look what King David did. Okay, we're going to keep reading. We'll read that again, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Then look what he does. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows have gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. So what do? You speak to your soul, you put it in its place, you combat it with the word of God, and then you just begin to remember who God is. And what's the best way to remember? Oh, I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you've delivered me every single time. I don't need to worry about this. Lord, you've never let me down, and you're not going to start right now. I praise you. I worship you. I remember your goodness to me. I will not let this thing overtake me. And this is literally how you speak to your soul and not worry and not take thought and not take on that care. That is literally how you do it. And for all you people who are just quiet and don't say anything and just keep it all in your head, that doesn't work either. In Psalms it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So just because you're quiet, okay, doesn't mean your mind's not racing. What you need to do is speak. So if you say, well, I'm just going to be quiet, I don't need to speak, well, that's not what this says. It says speak to your soul. Talk to your soul. He's saying, well, that's what he's doing. Why are you cast down on my soul? Why? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. I will praise him for the help of his countenance. I will remember him. And he goes on and on as we just read. Just being quiet doesn't get the job done if you don't want to operate in worry. Let's go back to John 14. Well, I don't think we ever went there, but we're going to go there now. We're going back to John 14, starting at 1, verse 1. So remember, this is the thing that the Lord spoke to me tonight that we all needed to hear. John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now going back to verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. That word troubled is a different word. It's from Strong's 5015, and it means to be stirred and agitated. Interesting. Let not your heart be stirred and agitated. That means it doesn't have to be sin, folks. It can mean that your heart is just stirred and agitated about various numbers of things. And the second part of the verse almost feels like it doesn't go with it. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Because we're talking about trouble and then he's talking about belief. But as the Lord was sharing this with me, it was like, if you believe in God and then you believe in me and you believe that I'm the one that God sent, if you believe that I'm the Savior, if you believe that, if you put your faith in me, then you will become one with me and you'll become one with the Father. And me and the Father will come and we will make our abode in you. That's what he's talking about. And when his abode is in you, then you won't be stirred and agitated, or you'll at least have the potential to not be stirred and agitated. Because again, it's a choice. Let not your heart be troubled. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Again, that's abode, abide, dwelling, home. That's what it's talking about, dwelling place, home. Meaning there's room for everyone. When you're in Christ, there's room for everyone. If it were not so, he says, I would have told you. He's not lying to you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And then in verse 23, he just confirms that. He says, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That dwelling place with him. Basically, my paraphrase, Jesus is saying, I don't want you to be stirred and agitated in life. And in fact, if you believe that God sent me, then my Father and I will come and make our abode in you, and you will never have to be troubled again. This abode is a dwelling place that I am setting up on the inside of you to strengthen you in time of need and to help you when you are tempted to take care. God doesn't want all his people running around worried, agitated, stirred up, anxious. That's not what he wants. Verse 27, Jesus says to us, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." And then he says it again, "Let not your heart be troubled." And then he adds again something new, "Neither let it be afraid." See, fear is not just when you feel the thing of quaking in your boots. Fear is when you let anxiety, worry, and any other word that describes fear take over you. And that can definitely be something that's just in your psyche, that's just in your mind, that's just in your emotions. But that's not God's plan for us. Right after this whole chapter 14, when he talks about his abode, okay, if you're in me, this is what I have for you. A place that is not troubled, that is not stirred and agitated. A place in me that is full of peace. Then Jesus begins to teach in chapter 15 about what it means to abide in him. Amazing how it's not there by accident, that Jesus knew what he was doing, because he gives us the how-to. Again, just like in Matthew chapter 6, seek first the kingdom, same idea. This is the how-to. Abide in me. He says, there's so many verses here. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it will be done unto you. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. It's by no accident that Jesus tells you first in chapter 14, don't be troubled, don't be stirred, don't be agitated. You know, don't take thought like that. Let not your heart be troubled. Come, come, if you believe in me, me and my Father will make our abode in you. Okay? And then it begins to tell you how to do it. As we abide in him, that is the answer to not be worried, to not have our emotions and our mind take over all the time. That day in the boat with Jesus, that wasn't just like, oh, Jesus happened to react good that day. It was a good reaction this day. Other days, maybe he lost it, but today was a good reaction. No, peace was already established in Jesus because he learned how to abide in the Father. And because of that, what came out of him was a God response. And that is exactly what the Lord expects of us. He wants us to learn how to abide in him to a place where there's a stillness within our mind and our emotions. And as Pastor Jim said this morning, you try to hide things. Sometimes you can't. God just, and listen, we all have bad days. Okay, no one's perfect. No one's perfect. That's not what this is about. This is about learning to grow in Christ and in that time with God to the point where his abode is so in you that what comes out of you, even in the storm, is a peace response like what Jesus had. His instruction tonight for us is, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Abide in him. Roll every care over onto him now. Don't wait. Don't wait until the suddenly. Okay? Start now. Start with the little things. Start when the kids are screaming. Start when the boss is yelling. Start when whatever. Start now. Stuff in your family. I think people issues are probably the things that most of the people that tend to make people worry. Okay, like your kids are doing bad or your aunt is sick or whatever. Okay, but start now. Start now. Rolling every care over into him. Do not let your heart be troubled. Okay, so that you can start reacting like Jesus, so that we can start reacting like Jesus, so that it's not a quick reaction like, oh my goodness, bail out the water. It's, oh, there's a peace that I reside in now because I abide in him, and that peace just comes out of me. Amen? Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. And that is the message tonight from the Lord. I really believe it. I believe that he wanted me to say this to you. And it's stuff we know. And so, you know, obviously somebody needed to hear it. And I think we can all do better in some of these things. I think we can all do better in God, I'm just going to let you, you know, run my life. I'm going to be at peace. I'm going to spend time with you. Father, thank you so much for who you are, Lord. We bless you and honor you and worship you. And Lord, what a pleasure it is and a joy to know you and to know your word and to be loved by you. And God, I'm so thankful how I love you. How I love you, God. Lord, there is none like you. Oh, can we just worship a little bit? Lord, I love you. Lord, I worship you. Lord, I worship you. Lord, I worship. Oh, Lord, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Oh, Lord, I love you. I love you. I love you. Oh, God, I love you. I love you. I worship. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. Oh, worthy, worthy, worthy. Hallelujah, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I praise you. I glorify you, Jesus. Thank you for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Lord, we bless you. We honor you. We praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. Lord, it all belongs to you. So we worship you in Jesus' name.